I was flipping through the channels the other day, but there was nothing.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
On, I had nothing to play. So I went to my computer and realized that there was so much content before my eyes. But there's nothing but Netflix in my heart and on my screen. There's always something good that I still haven't seen. But maybe one day we can try to watch the rest. So Rob and Chappelle, give it your best.
Yeah, that's right. Nothing But Netflix is back once again this week to talk about the new season of Selling Sunset on Netflix. And now here's a man that we never need to sell you on. It's the great Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
Rob, I'm good. Yes? I'm excited. You know, this request, Selling Sunset, we got so many of it. Like, I mean, people left and right. They were tweeting me, texting me. I got Facebook messages. And I knew I had to do it at some point because Nicole Horn, TikTok Nicole, just like tweeted like, Chappelle, you know what needs to be done. Like with no context or anything. Like, hey, Chappelle, stop playing. So I'm so happy. I'm so happy that we're finally getting to talk about this to get all the people off my back. But also because we have the best two guests possible for this particular show. I'm so ready.
Two of the top Selling Sunset minds around are joining us here this week. We are going to be joined by Asia Welch and Geneva Guadalupe. Asia and Geneva, hello.
Hello, hey, Rob.
Yes, yes, of course. Asia, you are just coming off of closing out Married at First Sight. Now you're looking at Selling Sunset.
Yeah, I'm closing out, 6 months worth of episodes of Married at First Sight. It never would end. And actually, the season hasn't ended because there's been so much drama on Reddit.
Is it week four of the reunion?
Right? It might as well be. But like current day drama is just out there. So y'all want to know what's going on with Married at First Sight? Tweet at me and I'll let you know.
Oh my God.
But I will say I have Selling Sunset to thank for me even being here as a podcaster, podcasting for RHAP.
How so?
Because I talked about it in my application video to even get an interview with you.
Yes. And what did you say?
I said, I'm here to sell you on why Selling Sunset should be podcasted about.
Okay.
And I said, it's drama. There's a little something for everybody. There's a little love element. It's just everything that you want in a show with all these different shows combined, like, you know, The Hills and The Bachelor. For the love, you know, for the in the drama. So I talked 2 minutes straight about Selling Sunset. And so I'm glad that we're getting a little bit more here today.
Finally, it has all come full circle for you, Asia. Yes. So excited to have you here. And then also welcome back Geneva. Geneva, what's going on?
Not too much, but, you know, I'm excited to talk about this as well. I've tweeted a lot about Selling Sunset in the last year. And, you know, this was a show I wanted to really bring into this network. And I'm glad that Chappelle said so many people have been tweeting about it. So I'm very excited to talk about it. And the thing about Selling Sunset is this show is so successful that there are multiple spinoffs coming off from this show.
Oh my God.
So actually currently right now I have some fun, important stats, but not only was Selling Sunset this year a Primetime Emmy Award nominee for Outstanding Unstructured Reality Program, but it's currently number 4 worldwide, number 1 in several countries. They have a spinoff coming up basically in December called Selling Tampa with a similar S firm, but it stars all Black women at a luxury real estate market over there. And then there's also a spinoff, slight spoiler alert, but at the end of this 4th season, you do find out that there is another Oppenheim office opening up. And so there's going to be a spinoff based off of that. So people really love this show, which is showing that Netflix is really expanding on it. And so I'm really happy about it.
Okay. Lots to talk about here with Selling Sunset. Chappelle, last week you and I talked about Sexy Beast Season 2 with Jenny Autumn. I don't know how many people watch Sexy Beast Season 2, but we had a lot of fun.
Yeah, and we got some good feedback from the podcast. People were just DMing me and saying, like, Chappelle, I'm just at work laughing, or I can't focus at my job because this is so funny. And Jenny's perfect. So mm-hmm. whenever Jenny's on a podcast, you know, like, we just have to work on keeping up with Jenny. And so it was a perfect storm of, like, me and you talking about goofy stuff with the expert of the goofiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you want to hear that episode or any of the Nothing But Netflix episodes, make sure you subscribe. robiswebsite.com/Netflix feed. Make sure you subscribe to Nothing But Netflix. Okay. Chappelle, what did you know about Selling Sunset before this weekend?
Oh, I knew that this was a show.
Yes.
I definitely knew that. I knew that it existed. It was a thing that was happening on television and or streaming platforms somewhere. I knew nothing else. I saw the tweets. I saw the responses to the tweets. I seen the hashtags. And I was just like, these people sound like they're having a good time doing whatever it is that they're doing on this show that I'll never mm-hmm. watch. But here we are.
Yeah.
Rob, you have any insight into the show before we started watching?
No, I thought that this was going to be like a show about like real estate. And I guess it is, but this is sort of like the closest way that I could describe this for anybody who has never watched Selling Sunset. It's almost like The Real Housewives meets HGTV. It's like I'm watching one of these like home renovation shows. And then I'm also watching like the soap opera of Real Housewives.
Right. And I will make a gross generalization here about women, but I think those are the two elements you need to get a large group of women into a show sometimes is mm-hmm. the HGTV and the Real Housewives.
Yeah.
They have that market. Both of those two networks, like, you know, or companies or whatever, okay. have that market by a stranglehold in a lot of ways. So I'm not shocked that it's very popular. Not saying that everybody likes it in that demographic, but I feel like that is like a surefire way to get some viewers.
So, my biggest question here is about this company, this Oppenheim group, and that I hope this isn't going to come across the wrong way in any way. But what is this company where that it's like that seems like there's these identical twins that they have a real estate agency that is only like gorgeous women who are real estate agents. It seems like do you have to pass any sort of like modeling test before you can work at the Oppenheim firm?
Well, look, there are other people that work at this brokerage. There are other mm-hmm. agents. They're just not a part of the storyline. So why do we need to have them on the show?
So
they can't be in the room.
They can't
even be on the screen.
Yeah,
I don't need distractions. Yeah. I need to be able to know that, okay, if Amanda's in the scene, I need to be looking at her reactions. If Maya's there, I need to be looking at her reactions. What's some extra going to do, you know, for this show?
The office isn't that big. I don't know if you guys noticed, but it's not the largest place. And everyone's talking about where they can sit or people sitting on the floor. So I think that's also probably an issue, at least for the show itself.
How does a real estate office not have a big enough building for everyone? Like, you would think if anybody has a grasp on how to get a space that mm-hmm. can fit people, you're not sitting on the floor. It would be a real estate office.
Yeah.
But look, you don't, as a real estate agent, you don't have to work in the office every day. People work virtually. This is just the brokerage that represents them as agents, right? Mm-hmm. So if while they're filming, they need to just say, hey, look, only people that are allowed in the office are the part of the Selling Sunset cast, then that's what we got to do, right?
Yeah. So you say that mm-hmm. there are other people that work at the Oppenheim group that are not as TV friendly as the main cast.
I guess you could say that, but not necessarily. If you go on like the actual Oppenheim Group website, they have photos of like everybody who works within their offices. And they have this whole like group photo, everyone, but everyone kind of still looks, you know, still looks pretty great, even though they're not the ones that necessarily are on TV. I guess they all have really great headshots. So that's also probably part of it.
Yeah.
Well, Geneva, so like for the people who do work there, when the cameras come in and they're like, all right, you, y'all got to go. We're filming the show now. Or do they just like, hey, work from home for the next couple of weeks because we're putting all the pretty people on TV. How does this work?
You know, I don't really know in depth about the behind the scenes production element when it comes to that, but I'm sure they have, you know, like a filming schedule and they probably know when they will be in and out of the office. And of course, I think we don't necessarily see every single day, you know, at the Oppenheim mm-hmm. Group. And, you know, of course, there are these different seasons that are filmed. But like that's I think we don't have all of that. So I think maybe who knows, maybe what we're seeing is once a week, for example, because the thing is, too, a lot of the show is we're seeing the homes. We're seeing the homes that they're actually showing. We're seeing the homes that they're actually viewing and working with other, you know, listers from other companies to get their clients into those houses and out of the, you know, like or sell their houses. So I think, you know, the office is part of it. Maybe also the other people, maybe they don't want to actually be on the show. That could also be part of it.
Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a really successful group that's, you know, been handed down generations and generations, and they're expanding and they're going to have more people. And we're going to get to know more of the people on their spinoff show that's coming out whenever that's coming out. So, you know, we'll get to see more of those faces, but, you know, a little bit further away from that other where that other office is located.
Okay.
Gotcha.
I'm on their website. You know, everybody is attractive in their headshots. You know, they even have cute dogs. Like, you know, everybody's very TV friendly at that works at the Oppenheim Group, you know?
Yeah. The dogs are part of the staff. That is true.
that is true. Yeah.
Well, we find out that you definitely don't have to have some type of sales background because I picked up that one of the newest cast members is from like, you know, soap operas in Mexico, apparently some from telenovelas,
right.
But then also one of the older cast members was from a soap opera as well. Is it Chrishell?
Yeah.
Who's like, So
well,
what is the requirement? Like your first step is like, do you have an acting agent? And like, okay, now, do you want to be a real estate
they've
agent?
They've got a whole back office of people that aren't TV friendly to sell the houses. They need people on camera making drama. They need soap opera people.
Oh, they brought in the ringers.
Yeah.
They look, okay, let's think about the fact that a lot of people go into real estate that have had other careers before. Mm. It could be a second career for a lot of people, or real estate could be a side thing for a lot of people. It's not like, you know, 100% of real estate agents out there have only ever done real estate. So it just so happens they have this background, you know? But a little bit of context on Chrishell is she was new in season one to the Oppenheim Group. So we had to kind of get introduced to her, and we had that background. We know she was married to what's his name? The guy from
Justin
This
Hartley.
Is Us. Justin Hartley from This Is Us. And so we kind of got to learn her story, and she was new to real estate at that time too. So, you know, this it's something we've seen before so far in Selling Sunset that like someone may be new. This is maybe something that they're doing new in their life. Like Vanessa, it's, you know, she's only been doing real estate for less than a year. It's just, she just doesn't want to do acting mainly anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think part of it is too, is probably there probably isn't necessarily a huge longevity with soap opera careers in itself. So you kind of have to figure out something
Geneva,
else to potentially
do. We podcast about Young and the Restless recently.
I know, but it depends
that are
on the
shows
people.
40 years.
But not everyone can be on the show for 40 years, right? There's a very small
yeah,
like,
you got grandfathered
you know, access
in.
Of market.
Some people. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I agree with you. There are people who've been there forever, but you know, it's
literal
hard
grandfathers.
To,
yeah.
You know, to join and become part of that. So I think you gotta think about different things. And they have different motivations. And I think even we kind of hear, you know, Vanessa had to do really with her sister. Her sister was involved in real estate. And so now this has become her life's passion because she wants to dedicate her career to her sister. So I think it, you know, it depends, but it is a weird coincidence. And it is quite funny though, that we have two people who, you know, were involved in the soap opera world.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's pretty dope. Like she's like, oh yeah, my sister did this before she died. And I really want to just, you know, kind of follow in her footsteps and dedicate that. That's cool. I do want to know though, like if you just started in real estate, how do you get in this market of real estate? Like these are not any houses that I've ever seen. I ain't never seen so many infinity pools in my life. Like they say infinity and beyond for a reason. Like it's infinity here, infinity there. I was like, there's water underneath the, like in the kitchen. I'm just like, oh, do you see the pool? It extends over here into the breakfast nook. Like, oh my God. So like, how do you jump from soap opera to like this market of real estate?
That's a good point.
That's a great question. Yeah. Because if anybody, if you're like in LA and you're a real estate agent, then you're going to be like, well, I want to work for them because the commission, I'm set for a year, you know,
with a sale of
one house. I'm good.
So,
$300,000 for like certain commissions, certain houses, but I don't see anything on their website about just like, oh, you want us to sponsor
Chappelle, do you,
you
want
as an
to apply
agent
to be one of the realtors at the Oppenheim Group?
Are they hiring men?
There are men on the website, especially more men, and
there are like they're actually also they're going to be actually more POCs in the other office too as well.
Maybe I should apply.
It'd be hard to have
Tampa.
Less.
Yeah. I hear that. Yeah. I hear Southern Tampa might be more my speed.
It's all women though, so I don't know. I mean, you.
Oh, so they're not going to let me in? Okay, well, I'll apply for Selling Sunset, but I ain't getting in there. I ain't pretty enough, Rob. I hate to break that to you. I don't think I'll
have to join. You'll have to join Selling the OC.
Yeah.
Wait, what, Geneva?
I said you'll have to join the Selling the OC. That's the Newport Beach office they're opening. So Newport Beach.
Yeah. I can see that. Nice. That could be me.
Nice
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Asia said I don't fit the bill for that either.
No, you're fine. No, that would be great.
Yeah.
She's like, sure. As long as it's not the main show, just one of these raggedy spin-offs.
So we are going to be talking in more detail about episodes 1, 2, and 3 from the brand new season, season 4. But Asia, are there any stories from the first 3 seasons that you want to just highlight for us who are newcomers to Selling Sunset?
Yeah. So first of all, if you have never watched the series at all and this podcast intrigues you even a little bit, I would recommend going back and starting at the beginning. I think that it's one of those shows that you could knock out in 2 days because episodes are literally like 30 minutes. Literally every season I've watched so far, I watched it in a day. But there are a few main people in this season that it's really good to have some context. So like I said, Chrishell was new at one point. So now she's kind of found her footing. She's doing better at, selling certain houses and representing people so that she can, because the first couple of seasons, she was struggling. She was having to sell some cheaper houses, you know, around like $1 million. But she was finding her footing. But she did go through a very public divorce with Justin Hartley. And so that played out on the show. She was very blindsided. So now this is a new Chrishell. This is somebody who has gained her confidence and is recovering from going through all that so publicly. Then you have Christine, who, as you saw, is the main character of this show, right? Christine is that girl. And
main
Christine
character energy. Will,
Yes, absolutely. So she's going to try to make you know that she's HBIC every time anyone enters the room. So Christine was single first, but then we kind of got her. She found this guy that she ended up getting married. That played out on the show. And then you saw as the season began, she was pregnant. And so she's always been that girl. She's always been the one that's had conflict with people. Her and Mary were really good friends before season one. And then we kind of pick up, the show starts with them having a little bit of conflict because Chrishell starts. Mary likes Chrishell. Christine's like, whoa, you're abandoning me, basically. And that starts to fracture their relationship. Another person that'd be good to know is Mary. So Mary used to date Jason, who was one of the twins. Those two dogs share custody of those dogs.
Share custody of the dogs?
Yes.
Oh, no. I never heard this before.
You're a dog mom. It's more common than you think. Yeah, it's more common than you think. That's why you got to be careful because I actually had 2 coworkers who, when they broke up, they had to share custody and the dog would like change weeks when it was with like be with one person and then go be with the other person because they share custody. Because they bought the dog together.
Wow.
Asia, that's wild.
Because of their long relationship, she's the vice president currently of the Oppenheim Group. Actually, and there's also some context people don't know, but basically Brett, like he's still working in conjunction with it, but he kind of started his own little firm, but it's basically still connected. So yeah. You see Brett, but not that much.
Chappelle, can we talk about the identical twins? Because they didn't really touch on the identical twins until I think the end of the second episode of season four. Like, wait, mm-hmm. There's two of this guy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But the other identical twin doesn't get to talk ever.
How did you know? I just assumed that it was switching out every time the camera would.
Well,
just switch
there
angles,
was a
I
was scene
like, oh,
talking about how this is identical twins, and then the identical twin is Brett, and then Jason is the main guy, but Brett is also around sometimes.
I mean, he's not Mike Tyson; he's Brett, you know. So he just hangs out.
Talked more in earlier seasons. This season. He has this new boo. They're getting really serious. If you've seen his Instagram, they're all over that. And so she was in certain scenes, but never said a word. And so Brett, I think he's kind of wanting to just
he's more the, from the show. He's Ashley Olsen than the Mary Kate.
How dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you? But Geneva, you said Brett was starting his own something or other.
Yeah,
so maybe is that why he's moving out of the camera?
Firm, which is, I think, also kind of why we saw a little bit less of Brett. But it was also weird in that scene too, when he sent the photo and he's like, oh, I can't even recognize which one I am. I'm like, well, that's, I guess, a mess if you don't even know what you look like. so that's actually a transition. Cause I was also noticed the other day when I was on their website, he's not on the main Oppenheim Group website anymore. Uh-oh. And so then I found out he made his own firm, but then but on his website, Brett's website, he has the same, general bio about how the Oppenheim group has gone down in their family for generations and generations and whatever. But it looks like they're still collaborating. So it's not like they have a feud, Jason and Brett, but it's just more like he wanted to do some separate stuff, but also kind of work with him.
Chappelle, how tall is Jason?
A very not.
Mm-hmm.
I was
5'5".
5'5".
They are liars. I've never seen so many women. Well, I was about to say, I've never seen so many women tower over this so many men ever. I was like, oh my gosh, these women are just so tall.
A foot taller than him. No, she's probably in right. 8-inch heels, but still.
I was in the cafeteria at the college I was advising at one time, and I was standing there and I just felt the shadow looming over me, and it was Brittany Griner. And I was like, oh my God. And I think that's how Jason just moves through life, just stood next to and eclipsed.
According to Google, how tall is Jason Oppenheim? 5'3".
Yeah, I was going to say 5'5". That is not 5'5". Mm-hmm. I can tell. Yeah. He needs to get his shins done and get a little extra work done on his shins.
If you say you're 5'3".
Yeah.
Then you're
really,
5'2".
Yeah.
Yeah, really 5'2".
Yeah.
Really 5'2". That's why I'm 6'5".
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But look, they have the confidence to compensate. Right. That's why they don't don't struggle.
And there are two of them
in the department.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Twice as tall, technically. Not really.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Double it up. But mm-hmm. can we jump into some drama? I have a question about some of the drama.
Yes.
Sure.
We love drama.
So you said when we come in the series, you get Christine and you start to find out about the beef with Mary. And from I'm coming in, this season we get a new person. This is Vanessa. She comes in, she knows nothing about these people, and she's hearing all the stories from all sides. And I feel like that's where me and Rob jumped in this time. We're hearing all the stories, but we don't know what exactly is true here. So Christine says...
Yeah, we're new here too.
Right. So Christine says, hey, Vanessa, just so you know, me and Mary used to be real, real cool or whatever. Chriselle showed up and then they started kicking it or whatever. But I used to talk to this dude. I used to date this guy. And this other woman, Emma. Was started messing with them too. And Mary knew about this. And she just kind of picked her side. Well, then when you go over to Mary, Mary's like, nah, that ain't happened. She's crazy. She don't know what she's talking about. That didn't happen. And I want to know. Who is telling the truth here? Somebody lied.
And was this on the show or this happened before the show?
So the Emma situation happened before the show.
Yeah, this is some of that Game of Thrones stuff that happened before the show started. You just got to take their word for it.
Right. And so knowing Christine and knowing her, who she is as a person, Christine is the one that is not telling the truth in the situation. Because even the way she painted it, even the way you just explained it, she made it seem like Chriselle coming was all part of it. No, the Emma situation happened years ago. Chrishell came in season one, right? And so the fact that Christine and Mary were friends, they were great friends, like leading into season one, that was after the Emma situation, right? Mm. So it's now it's like Christine's trying to have, like, trying to make stuff up to make it seem like, oh, that's why. But it's like, no, you were friends with her after that situation happened. So that's how we know Christine's not telling the truth.
Also, I think there's a couple of things here. One, I feel like Christine has never really had a positive relationship with Chrishell, to be honest. Like, when she heard there was a new girl coming to the Oppenheim group, she's basically like, oh, she could sit on the floor. You know, it was just not a good. So she basically kind of was like trying to haze her, essentially. That was kind of like a huge kind of part of the relationship. And a lot of the drama that also happened last season during essentially like Chrishell's divorce, too. Basically, there was a lot of stuff going around, basically, that Christine was spreading false rumors, trying to make it sound as if Chrishell was kind of part of the reason that. She got, you know, basically, you know, she was a reason and cause for the divorce, trying to imply that Chrishell cheated on Justin and all this other stuff that wasn't true. So she and Davina were basically like, oh, well, you know, Justin, we met him once and he was nice. So, you know, there are multiple sides to the story. But of course, everyone else was like, we should support Chrishell because she's our friend. But of course, they were saying things that were not, you know, positive or remotely supportive. So there's always kind of been, you know, a back and forth competitiveness with Christine and Chrishell, whether some of it is, of course, maybe producer induced potentially, but also I think she also, because it was like, this is this new person, you know, the dynamic definitely did change, but I wouldn't say necessarily like Chrishell has done all this stuff. Also, I'm like, why don't you blame your ex, not Emma? I don't understand why this is so much of a thing. Like, you shouldn't be blaming this woman because clearly she was tricked as well. And that's why Mary keeps saying, like, I'm still friends with her because Emma, you know, Emma was innocent in this as well. But she keeps blaming Emma. So there's a lot of different things. So it's like multiple things, which is why like Mary and her are not great right now. So it's like the Chrishell and Emma thing. So there's so many things.
Two different timelines. They happen. Gotcha. Emma and Chrishell were two different periods in time.
So the real bad guy here, Geneva, is Davina. We don't like Davina. Yes.
I will say this. Yeah, Davina, like, she really put her foot in her mouth last season. But season four was her redemption story. Not going to lie. So it does play out later in the season. Some more positive things from Davina, where she is sorry for that situation. But yeah, she's a bad guy.
It's really, right. Yeah, it's really Davina, which is hence why she left the Oppenheim group. So that's also part of, because she also tried to sell like this, what, $75 million home.
Yeah, that she was never able to sell.
But yeah, some of the people who were requesting Selling Sunset were like, listen, do Selling Sunset, but talk about Davina and the $75 million home. So I was like, oh, okay, bet. So I started season four and I'm like, it's very kumbaya now that this woman Davina is not here. And yeah. Rob, did you notice that too? The first episode, I just thought, oh, they just sit around and be nice to each other and sell houses. Mm-hmm. It takes a little bit before they get into the drama, maybe like two or three episodes in. I'm glad we talked about multiple episodes.
All right, let's jump into season four and talk about what's going on. And a big part of the storyline here in season four is Christine is very pregnant. Christine is about to have a baby. She will have a baby in about two episodes. But she is, you know, going through the motions at work and like doing her job. And she's not really slowing down. But the Oppenheim group seems to have a curious maternity leave policy, and it does seem as though if you have a baby, they are just going to bring in your arch enemy to replace you and take your job if you have a baby. It seems like a very anti-mother perspective from the Oppenheim group.
Right.
Yeah, that was the thing, was it was like, oh, of all the real estate agents, of all the agents who are actually with the Oppenheim group right now, you go find the one person that Christine can't stand. So, yeah, it, I mean, I love how it happens. Such a coincidence.
It's business. It's all business. Yeah. It's how you're going to make, you know, the highest return. So it doesn't matter who the person is. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it's not personal. It's all about the money.
Yeah. Chappelle, am I off here? Is Jason a bad guy?
Oh yeah, he's no, I'm kidding. No, I just feel like he's like us. Like he's kind of like, let me stay out of these women's business and just mind my own business. But I think there's a level to like looking at him and saying, you could be a little bit more, you know, you could pay attention a little bit more and know that some of this stuff is toxic and you should kind of maybe heed those warnings, because like now we're finding out from what Geneva said that like Jason and was it Mary were together at some point. Mm-hmm. So it's not like she doesn't have a connection with Jason where like they don't have a speaking, like they share a dog. So it's not like he's walking around oblivious. Dude. Like what? I didn't know y'all didn't like her. Emma seems like a lovely lady. I don't know why we wouldn't bring her back. Like Jason, you know what the hell is going on here. Stop it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I think there's a level of that in there too, as well.
Yeah. Asia, that doesn't seem like Christine even wants to go on maternity leave. It's not like Christine is like saying like, all right, I'm going to have my baby. And then look, I need 6 months time with the baby. Right. Like I get the sense that Christine would be out showing houses with the newborn baby 3 days after the baby's born.
Absolutely. Yeah. The only point of discrepancy here is her going in the office. They're like, oh, well, there's going to be a while. There'll be a while until she's back in the office. They don't, she's still selling houses. Well, she up until the day that the baby came. So,
yeah, you know, an hour before Jason and her were meeting.
Yeah, exactly. Jason is the epitome of can't read a room. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. In no situation can he read a room this whole season. And so he just continuing to make these decisions that, you know, he can consult one other person. But Jason is also understanding that the Oppenheim group is the star of this new show, Selling Sunset. I mean, it's only about 2 years old. They understand the drama that people love about it. So he's going to do what he can to get the drama going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He doesn't care.
You can tell he doesn't care. He's just like, oh yeah, I'm sorry. I just had no clue that you didn't like her, even though you were telling literally anybody who will listen to you that you don't like her. Like we meet Vanessa, and within 5 minutes, Vanessa's like, oh my God, y'all are so nice. And Christine's like, yeah, come over here. Let me tell you something. Let's start with Mary. I don't like her. And here's why. And I was like, dang, like I appreciate that. Like, be forward with me. Tell me all the dirt. I want to know what I'm dealing with, but also she wastes no time in throwing people under the bus. So there's no way Jason doesn't know this drama, because everyone else seems to know the drama very quickly.
Geneva, it also seems like that the women that work at the Oppenheim group are also not just always like selling houses, but it seems like that they're always like buying houses.
Yeah. And a really huge storyline, that we kind of see in these first three episodes is, you know, Chriselle. Chriselle has gone through this like crazy divorce that was very public. She even, you know, went on Dancing with the Stars. People were accusing her of dating her dance partner who had cheated on his wife.
Leave Chriselle alone.
But then she was actually with another person, but then that didn't work out. So she's had a lot. But one thing that she hasn't had for herself is a house.
Yes.
So she really wants that home. Mm-hmm. And so that is the goal, you know, but there are some challenges, because it's like you want to find the place that's the right fit. Of course, you want to be able to afford it. And now, as we've seen, kind of like, you know, season one, she kind of, you know, struggling. But now she has a lot of these really, you know, she's been doing really well. So like, you know, we kind of see, you know, some other people are getting celebrity clients. But later on in the season, we actually do see Chriselle gets like an NBA player, and then also gets an actor as well. So like, there, you know, is a lot, you know, for her. And I think also maybe because she's kind of like, even though Christine, I guess, is like kind of the main person, Chriselle is also kind of like the main counter person, and she's kind of the face of the show. So I think
they want her to also, be.
Exactly. Like even like some of the promotion stuff I see, it's always like Chriselle in the center. Right. Mm-hmm. Because the whole, at least plot line started with Chriselle comes into the office season one. She's the new girl. Is that, you know, what is that, you know, experience like? So she's really wants that home. She's, you know, she's been homeless in her life. Like, you know, even when she was with her ex-husband, ultimately, you know, she didn't own the home. She literally like signed off, right, saying like, oh, I don't own this property. So this is really what she really wants.
Yeah. And to be clear, she didn't have an affair with Artem Chavinsky. Because Artem and her, they had some chemistry. I ain't going to lie to you. I remember that season.
No, I'm I don't think so.
No,
mm-hmm.
Okay, no, I whatever. Think people were, people were saying that she was, I think, with Bleb or something. But then she ended up being with Keo in the end. So there's a lot of different things. So lots of drama.
Yeah, she was getting passed around the dance floor. She had multiple dance partners.
Relisted.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but she got close to the cast, I guess, essentially.
Oh, okay.
Desperate need for a rebound. We will not shame her.
On the show. I didn't know her personal life, Asia. Okay. I was talking about her dance Chappelle. Partners. Because Artem ended up winning the show with that Caitlyn girl from Canada. I remember. Right. Yeah.
Bachelorette, right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, see? I'll be looking.
you know what's going on.
Yeah,
her partner was Bleb that season. So a lot of people mm-hmm. were saying that, oh, she might be with Bleb. She was like, you know, like he was cheating with Chriselle. It was this whole stuff, but obviously that wasn't true. And then she was actually with Keo. But anyway, yeah.
Okay. So all right. There are a lot of celebrities that seem to use the Oppenheim group for their buying and listing of real estate. Chappelle, do you think that is it better to be buying on Selling Sunset or selling on Selling Sunset?
Probably selling, right? Because if you're like what we see, French Montana is listing his home mm-hmm. now. And mm-hmm. like, I had no clue what French Montana, where he lives or goes or does or anything. And so I was like, okay, but now I get a Cribs version of this. This is like a mini Cribs.
The Cribs reunion. Where's Jason Reed?
Right.
Right. Now we replaced him with a better replacement. Thank mm-hmm. God Geneva's here. Jason can stay wherever he is right now. We don't need him. But yeah, it was cool. I was like, oh, French Montana has this amazing studio and he had like the pool table and his brother's giving the tour. I was like, oh, okay. But, this is that's publicity that you want.
I was a little like, is everything okay? Why are you selling this house?
He got multiple houses, probably. I don't know.
Multiple houses? You know what a pain in the ass it is to move? Like, why?
No, Rob, why don't you tell me?
It's not fun. It's not fun. Is he getting a bear?
But
this house was fine. Like, the house wasn't good enough. Like, I feel like maybe that he's going to cash out.
I'm sure French Montana does not have to lift a finger in the moving process. Mm-hmm. He walks out of his home and it's taken care of. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
So moving is probably like, you know, going to ordering DoorDash.
Or maybe it's fun. I mean,
he has his brother handling this whole thing. So, you know, he's not really doing anything.
I could just picture him like, you know, like when you're moving and you're in the kitchen and you're taking all like the glasses and you're wrapping them in newspaper. And French Montana's like, damn it, I hate moving. I hate this so much. Rob was right. Mm-hmm. But I do think that's the benefit because like, and it gets them a chance to flaunt their other high dollar clientele as well. So, you know, when you find out other rich people use a service, then that makes you want to use it too. Mm-hmm. So, and that was that Chriselle's client, French Montana?
No, it was Mary's.
Yeah. Mary's. Oh, okay, cool. But,
and that's another, that's like a side storyline is the fact that people think because of Mary's history with Jason, she gets the better things.
Oh, so she gets the French Montana bump.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Geneva, but I don't feel like there were as many celebrities in past seasons. And I think the publicity of the show makes people want to use the Oppenheim group. Cause I remember Chrissy Teigen going on Twitter and saying, okay, I'm watching Selling Sunset and I have never heard of a single one of these real estate agents. So she's like, they're trying to present that they are the best around for celebrities. But Chrissy Teigen, who's moved a couple times publicly, she's never heard of them. So mm-hmm. I don't know.
Right. And I think it's more, I guess they are a luxury real estate company rather than one that caters to celebrities. But I think that's also why like Mary emphasizes the importance of getting this, you know, deal with French Montana so that she can, you know, be in Calabasas and get all those celebrity clients. So she's not even really, I guess, getting them. But this is kind of the season we start to see them, you know, start to come into like the forefront, like, you know, semi mini spoiler, but like, you know, like, Simu Liu, he actually works with Chriselle to, you know, for a property. And then you also have, Thomas Bryant, basketball player who actually works with Chriselle as well for a property too. But that's also where I feel like Chriselle's status on the show as the star, I think has also gotten her its opportunities and these clients.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. I'm like trying to process all of this. Like, okay, yeah. Cool. Now,
it's so, so much.
Yeah, but am I supposed to like all the women? Like, who are, is there supposed to be like a clear villain? Because I think Christine is supposed to be the villain, right?
Yeah.
But is she, isn't she like the villain that you love to hate? Because I thought like she's magnetic. She's good TV. So you want Christine on your television. We didn't get a lot of Emma. I suspect that we're not supposed to like Emma.
Well, so Christine first, she, yes, they want us, her to be the villain. I mean, she behaves like a villain, but I will say if I was friends with Christine, I would get got too. Because there are moments she's so sweet. And I'm like, she's okay. She's genuinely nice. Like there were moments she could see like with Amanda that she was like genuinely nice, but you know, she's so calculated, but it's just like the, for a split moment in time, you believe that she's being genuine and she's being soft and she's kind, but then she'll switch it up on you in a second.
Well, like you saw with Vanessa, like, yeah. so nice. She's like, come to my baby shower. Thanks to this. I'm like, you guys just met a few days ago. Yeah. Okay. But, you know,
but she wanted to turn the knife because those other girls weren't invited to the baby shower.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. That was and then part the whole of the drama. And then, you know, the not like her not accepting Mary's gift.
Yeah. That part. See, I was oblivious. Call me Jason. I was just chilling. I was like, oh, well, you know, everybody doesn't have to come to everything. Or maybe, you know, I didn't want to invite all you people because, I, you know, we're not on the best terms. And I understand that. Like, let's protect our peace. We know y'all don't really, really want to be there that bad. And that's fine. But then when it's like, oh, yeah, I keep sending gifts and she's turning away. I'm like, all right, Christine, man, you're losing me. You had me in the first half. But what's going on now to where you're turning away baby gifts? Not that she needs the gifts because it seems like she is loaded. But like, come on, just as a show of good faith, just be, you know, common courtesy is just accept the gift. Unless you're there's like some real, real beef there.
And even so, she keeps talking about how she misses Mary. And I'm like, okay, well then accept this baby gift from Mary.
But Mary sent her assistant. So I'm like, if I'm Christine, I'm not in a Christine, what do you call it?
A defender.
Defender.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, an apologist. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But I can see how her mind works in certain situations like that. She probably wanted Mary to bring the gift herself, but Mary sent her assistant. So she's like, no, I'm not taking it. You come bring it yourself.
Wow. That's rich people problems. Like, you sent your assistant to me? Like I'm some type of peon? Like I'm one of these scrubs? Are you serious? Send it back. Send it back, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Get that bassinet out of my sight.
I mean, that's an interesting point. I guess I didn't think about it like that. Ultimately, I just was like, well, Mary's a busy woman. She's like the vice president of this luxury real estate company. So she has an assistant. And so she sent the, you know, but I don't know. Maybe that could have been the interpretation. But I know, like, even across the season, I didn't even hear Christine say that. So that I'm like, it just seemed weird that she just didn't accept the gift. So I'm curious, like, I don't know, if she just was like, I don't want to accept it because I'm not really on good terms with her.
Yeah, there was a point later in the season that Christine said, like, oh, Mary, I didn't get a chance to thank Mary for the gift she sent. But it's like, okay, on Mary's side of it, you didn't even get the gift. So that was the truth.
Can I go back to one other thing about Christine? That Christine, when we first see her in season four, she's showing off how she has a purse, but...
Yes.
Purse is not a purse. Her purse is like a diamond studded chair that she has on a strap, like it was a purse. And what I was curious is that, is this a Christine thing or this is a trend that I haven't heard about yet?
Well, luckily we have Miss Wealth herself on the podcast.
Yes.
Asia, tell us,
do you have
what
a chair purse?
I do not own a chair purse. No, it the fact that she called it a purse, I think she should have just stuck with this is an accessory. It can't be a purse. It's not a purse. A purse carries things. That chair can't even carry a penny. It's just an accessory.
A chair,
an accessory
and a
for her shoulder. Yeah. So she mislabeled that.
Is it even functional though? Like Geneva, if you have the chair, if you just sit it next to you and just prop it up, do you just like sit your cell phone on it or like your keys so you don't forget anything? Like, can you actually use this as a purse in any way?
I wouldn't classify it as a purse, but I guess you could put some keys on it, but that's probably the extent of things that you could probably put on it. But it's like, why would you put your keys
on
the
I bet you could sit like your iPhone in it and like if you wanted to watch something vertically.
I'm going to get you a little chair for Christmas, Rob.
That'd be nice. Yes. That'd be nice. I'll have like a chair on my desk. Like that's my Chappelle chair.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't expect anything less from Christine. I was not an ounce bit of shocked that she was wearing that. I was like, yep, she introduces me to new things all the time. But
I hope it takes off. I want this to be very popular. It seems like, because I've never seen this before, so maybe she's a trailblazer in this realm of fashion. But if I start seeing people with their little chairs sitting on the desk, I'm going to just smile from ear to ear. I'm like, I know where that's from.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, it needs to be in the RHAP merch shop.
A chair? Yeah. A chair chain?
A chair chain.
I mean, you can make it like a wrap one.
I mean, they do giant bell in the office of like you ring the bell when you make a sale, like when you're at Trader Joe's and you need help getting to your car.
I love that bell. I loved it. I love that whole moment because, you know, they ring the bell when they make the sale. And we know like when Chrishell makes like her sale, quote unquote, but it's to herself, you know, like that was such a big moment. I was like, ring that damn bell. And then she broke it. And I was like, okay, calm down. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I enjoyed the bell. That was a good touch. I like that.
Yeah. Get out that, you know, Oppenheim group wine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's Oppenheim Group One. Yeah, Geneva, are there a lot of other Oppenheim Group merchandise opportunities?
Good question. I don't know.
Store on the website.
So maybe not, but I wonder, because does Netflix sell occasional merch, right? I think maybe.
Yeah, I think somebody sent us there's a Netflix store.
So there I wonder if there's any selling Sunset or Oppenheim-esque type merchandise, but to my knowledge, I don't know of any aside from the wine. But you know, Chrishell just didn't seem to be a huge fan of the wine. Is kind of what I got. So
She said the red and the white.
Yeah, she said just use it as a decoration. She's like, you know, those things that you just put in display, but you actually never eat it, like in a bakery where you have like the pretty food just sitting there, but no one touches it. That's what this wine is. Just put it in a glass case and don't ever drink it because it's not good. So hopefully it's not that expensive because it's just going to sit there. That looks like nasty wine.
Mm-hmm. I was like, yikes. That was unfortunate.
It probably wasn't expensive before Selling Sunset, but now that Selling Sunset is a thing, people want to buy it.
No Selling Sunset merch in the merch store. Maybe that could be a segment on Nothing But Netflix when we check to see if there's merch.
Yeah, let's do it. Put it on the docket for the future. Mm-hmm. I like that. We'll see what we can find because I want that little chair. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm gonna wear it around my chain like Flavor Flav. Oh yeah, this merch. It might be a little played out by now. Like Halloween's over. That was when you make that move. Now I'm like, it's fine. Maybe Squid Game 2 will
did it for Halloween. It's number 67. And people were like, oh my gosh, how'd you get your costume? No way. I was like, yeah, I just thought about it, ordered it, arrived a few days before a Halloween party, and it was a hit. So
Good timing.
We could also, there are also a lot of iconic sayings, which
this catchphrase
in episode one of season four, Chrishell was like, put your hopes in a home, not a man.
Not a man. Yeah.
That could sell well on a t-shirt.
Yes. Or Etsy shop.
Right.
put your hopes into a home, not a man.
I'm not sure if y'all noticed the transition songs.
Yeah. These like banging DJ hits that they come out. Where is this? What is the soundtrack? Is this something that like, they are producing themselves? Because I ain't never heard none of these songs, but they was hitting my bass knocking.
Right. And it's like, it's always so relevant. It's like, I can't stop my demons and now it's my time. So come hell or high water. Something, something, something. Yeah.
I got a little diamond encrusting chair. Boom, right. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, they was going in. But speaking of catchphrases, I was talking to Meg Showers on Twitter and Meg said, that I guess there was like a running joke that every character on Selling Sunset can only say up to 1,000 unique words. So like on any given episode, they're just repeating the same phrases over and over again in different orders. So like Infinity Pool is going to come up once an episode, you know, like things like that, escrow, but they only have 1,000 keywords that they'll never deviate from. And I thought that was so funny.
Chriselle, she probably said homeless. I don't even know how many times because she continued to reference the fact that she was homeless at one point and now she's getting this home because you put your hopes in a home, not a man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, that's actually something I want to like address is I saw this thing. I was actually in the subreddit for Sunset and people were talking about how like, I think this season more than ever, it seemed like some things were constantly repeating. So I guess maybe that's also hence why, you know, within the vocabulary, the lingo of Selling Sunset, we're seeing the same 1,000 words. And Chriselle even like said on Instagram, like, you know, she was constantly asked by the producers to address things. And then like so it just seems like they're talking about it so many times and they were maybe even were doing it, but it just became like a repetitive thing. So she's hoping even for season 5 that that's not much of a thing. Cause in some ways, I think the show also makes it look like everyone's just constantly complaining about Christine this season. But it's not necessarily that's what they want to talk about. But I think that's also because they also want the drama. That's a huge element of the drama, Christine's lack of relationship with most of the women. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of what seems to be going on, which is why we keep hearing Chriselle's story about, you know, her being homeless. But, you know, I think definitely with that, though, I guess at least, you know, made more sense within the context, at least of these first 3 episodes, because she was actually, you know, going to buy that house, which is amazing. But I think I can see why things are constantly repetitive, because it seems like the producers are constantly harping on the same things.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. These are real people, but this show, come on, we could be real. It is softly scripted. I mean, it's softly scripted to the point of like The Hills and Laguna Beach. That's exactly why I love the show, because it reminds me so much of The Hills and Laguna Beach, which I love so much. But we know they have a storyline to push. We know that, you know, if Christine coming back, that's the storyline of this season, and Emma's mixing it, that's going to be a part of most conversations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We know that they don't naturally talk about these things, but I like that it's beautifully crafted for us to consume. It's 30-minute episodes. So I totally understand why they have to do it. It's just like when you watch Selling Sunset, you just have to know what you're watching. That's how you can enjoy it. It's like if you're thinking like, oh, this is going to be like, you know, I can't even think like something on HGTV of just showing these, like, you know, what is the Big Easy show where they just sell houses.
Those shows aren't even real. Like those shows, like you hear like, they're like, oh, they didn't even really sell that house. Like they show like on the bottom of the screen, like all this commission. Like I don't buy this at all that, you know, you're seeing these women are making like $400,000 commissions on these houses that they're just like showing up this one time in the episode. They make all this commission.
I believe it.
Shenanigans, Chappelle.
Well, I think they're making most of it, but I'm sure Jason and Brett get a huge chunk
maybe
of that.
Maybe the Oppenheim group gets it, and they get like paid to be on the show.
Yeah, maybe it's a weird one. I appreciate it though. Like I like this because it was short. It's sweet. You get the drama, like I said, and it happens relatively quickly. You know, like they, like I said, the setup was kind of everywhere because I was jumping into season 4. So I was still trying to get all the relationships, like the little web was just in front of me. I was trying to put all the pieces together, but it's an easy watch. It really is. And now my eyes are going to be out for those songs because like Asia pointed out, like there's even like a TikTok trend where people are just making fake versions of the Selling Sunset songs because it basically just, it's the general 5 or 6 phrases that they say, but with like a random techno beat over it or something like that, or like some like smart, really pop funk beat. Yeah. So Girl Boss is repeated. Gaslight is repeated a few times. Like, it's like, oh, okay. Like doing my own thing, freezing my eggs, you know, like things of that nature. It's a fun watch if you're looking for that kind of thing, especially with TikTok pushing that narrative.
Yes. Well,
they might just go into the studio like at the start of the season of like, all right, this next one's going to be called Escrow. What can you give us?
Yeah.
Like, and well, go, we're...
Let's go Escrow.
Oh, no.
No, I just said one thing I wanted to quickly connect to what Asia said earlier is the reason I think it really is reminiscent of The Hills is because the creator of The Hills created Selling Sunset. So I think we'll just see literally all of it's just Adam DiBello keep doing the same or doing the same. I don't know.
Yeah.
So he's keeping that similar pattern, which I think is why, look, you know, it presents nostalgia.
That's why
I started watching the show. I was like, oh, okay, this, you know, is in 4K. And I was just seeing the, you know, the beautiful views of the valley, you know, of different LA and the houses. And then I stayed for the drama. Mm-hmm. But I actually started for the houses.
The show is immaculate. Everything looks so pretty. Like everything, like, you know, like the houses are beautiful and rich. All these women are beautiful and rich. They walk in, everybody has a slow motion entrance. They get out the car, you start at the heels, you work your way up, you show the, like the long shot. They take off the glasses. They're working in the fan machine. Like the wind is blowing. There go.
Everybody's like, hair is on point.
Look.
On point.
Emma's coming out of a private jet.
Yeah.
She gave birth like 13 minutes ago and came down the stairs looking flawless. And then she's like, oh, my baby's hungry. I'll be right back. Drops the baby off and comes right back. We don't see her feed the baby. We don't see any. She's like, hey, somebody come feed this kid. I got things to do. I got to go look good on TV. Like they waste no time making these people look amazing. She even, like Christine even says, I was doing Pilates and handstands and stuff like that up until the moment I gave birth. Well, ma'am, that's probably why you had some complications, girl. You don't need to be doing a handstand before you give birth. I was like, that poor baby barely made it out. You out here doing Pilates.
Yeah. Boy, and Christine really took us behind the scenes of her journey to the delivery room.
Oh, yeah.
She did. And I think that was something to note because there are a lot of TikTok private investigators out there who are trying to claim that Christine was never pregnant.
What?
But then I've discussed this with a lot of my friends, and one who has had a C-section was like, you're not doing the things that Christine is doing if you just had a C-section. So her thing is she thinks there's a difference in timing. Like Christine had her baby, then she shot, you know, these, I just had my baby, maybe 4 or 5 months later. So I went on her Instagram. She has plenty of pregnancy shots showing bare belly. I don't know. I think she's the type of person that if she did have a surrogate, she'd just be like, look, I just wanted to keep my body. That would be on brand for Christine. Yeah, I can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she'd be transparent about it.
Look, yeah.
She put the baby down. Like while she was pregnant, she was like, look, I cannot wait to get rid of this baby because I'm going to get Botox tomorrow. Like I am waiting to bring my child into this earth and then I'm going to get Botox. The next day, like she is ready. So I don't think she would hide it if she had a surrogate. She'd be like, well, I'm rich and I can do that. What's up?
Right.
I like that energy from Christine. I was team Chrishell. I'm not going to lie to you. I was like, Chrishell, she's like a nice woman. She's so polite. Everybody seems to like her. And now I'm like, well, Christine, I mean, I know that's your enemy, but I can see both sides. Yeah.
You know, Geneva, can I ask a question? What is the specific talent that the women who work at the Oppenheim Group have that makes them good realtors? Because it seems like that they just walk into a house and they just sort of like give a tour. And then they either, you know, the person either buys or doesn't buy the house. Like what are they doing? That's the secret sauce.
I mean, I think the secret sauce ultimately is their personality, the vibrance that they bring into these listings. I think that just being able to, you know, I think they seem to communicate well with people despite, you know, all the drama, but I think like, it seems like they're all pretty professional and they have become a bit more knowledgeable about the craft over time. And I think it was during one of the episodes, Brett brought a group of them to basically to like a pre-showing so that people, they could all kind of be educated and know more information. So I think really they're learning a lot from each other, which is allowing them to, you know, have that expertise. But, you know, I think part of it is probably the people that they have and the clients that they have, they know what they want and what they don't want. So they're going to buy the house if they can afford it, or they're not going to buy the house because it doesn't meet their needs. So part of it, I think, is their personality and like just kind of, I guess, the aura they exude. But I think also part of it is, you know, the people that the clientele that they have are going to buy the houses anyway.
Chappelle, because I feel like I could come in and I could do it.
No, absolutely not. And here's why. because the thing that these women have, aside from their, you know, amazing good looks or whatever, is that they fit the vibe of the property that they're selling, right? So they walk in and they're able to talk to you about this rich stuff, right? Because that's the rich stuff they're accustomed to. That's what happens mm-hmm. when Asia gives you a tour of a home. You know, Asia comes in and she's like, Rob, like the vaulted ceilings is really like, you know, we need, like, it gives you this kind of look over here. Look at the infinity pool. Whoop de whoop. I give you the house, the tour, and it sounds just like that. Whoop de whoop. Walk in the room over there. That's the den or the living room. I'm not sure. You know, like you gotta meet your clientele where they are. Yeah. And these women, they know opulence. And so when they walk in, you're like, you feel like, okay, a person is speaking your language when you have that kind of money.
Right.
I don't understand that language.
This woman is in a cocktail dress. She knows what
the heck is up. The bottoms is red, and you know that means she gonna know what she's talking about. And I think that's fair. You know, like I said, it's about their personalities, like Geneva was saying, because they're really nice. But they also are comfortable in spaces like that. Because if I'm showing a house like that, I'm walking in with my mouth wide open, like, wow, this is crazy. Y'all got a pool table and another pool table. Like, you know, I don't think it's for everybody, Rob. I don't think it's for everybody. That's why they hide half the staff.
I guess
they're not good like that.
Yeah.
They're not camera ready.
Not ready.
Yeah. Like even a couple seasons ago, Christine did an event at one of the open houses that was like, it was Botox and something
burgers.
Else.
Botox and burgers.
When you went to go look at the house.
Yes.
And the burger. In-N-Out. Yeah. Yes. It was like In-N-Out burgers.
Do you burger before Botox? Or you got to?
Burger before Botox. You never heard that? See, that's what I'm talking about.
You Botox before burger.
That's how you know you're the same for you. That's how you know. Let Asia take us through the steps. Burger before Botox. That's how it goes.
You enjoy the burger. Mm-hmm. I don't know how people feel after Botox, but you know,
I don't know what sort of side effects you could get, but maybe you'd want food before you get it, but I'm not really sure.
Good your old botulism not, burger.
You know, your forehead's not as mobile after the fact, I would imagine, right? After a couple of shots.
Hard to eat after then, I guess.
So burgers before Botox.
Thank you. Want to be all greasy when you get the Botox.
Rah. That's not the concern is, will I rip my face open because I'm chewing too hard? Because the Botox the botulism going to freeze your face all up. And you don't want to be trying to chew with your face all frozen, Rob. Come on, keep up. We're going to get you some Botox and then you'll know what I'm talking about. That's what I'm taking for Christmas.
Get Dr. Will on the phone.
Right? You're going to be like, dang, I wish I would have had this burger before.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Gosh, I can't y'all see, I can't take him nowhere. I can't take him nowhere.
Sorry, Chappelle.
It's okay. We're learning.
That's why you stick to podcasting.
So what other storylines are some of the big things going on in season 4 of Selling Sunset, Geneva?
So I think kind of what we saw definitely was Jason wants to make sure that the seats are filled. So not only did we see Vanessa join, you know, we did see Emma, you know, join also while Christine is gone, but then there's also even the prospect of, you know, Davina returning because, you know, she misses the Oppenheim group. But of course, that I think as you go through the episodes, you tend to see a lot of drama with how people feel about her potentially rejoining the firm, especially considering how much drama she has caused. And just based on what happened really with, you know, Jason and Davina last season with this whole $75 million house and how she felt so confident she was going to sell it, but she didn't, you know, sell it and all of this sort of stuff. And just like, you know, basically he's saying like, I don't think that this is going to sell like for this high amount, no one's going to buy this, all this sort of stuff. There's definitely, I think there's been a clash definitely with, you know, their communication styles and how they think about things. And ultimately, I guess, you know, Jason's in charge, so that she wasn't really listening to what he had to say. So I think that's kind of a huge element of, you know, what's going on. I think, you know, definitely just even more in depth about Christine and not only Emma, but also Christine and Mary and basically what's going on, you know, with all of, you know, Mary's, you know, drama, I guess, within, you know, their relationship and how they keep talking about certain timelines. But I think, you know, Mary doesn't think that the timelines that Christine is talking about even really match up. And I think also the thing is, one major issue I think we also do see this season is Christine, you know, she has hurt a lot of people. And I get that she kind of wants to move on, but I don't think she likes to acknowledge the hurt that she's caused. And so that causes a lot of, I think, drama between people, because they're like, you know, it would be fine, but she doesn't even say like, oh, I'm sorry. So I think some of, like, you know, some of the major elements that you kind of do see later on in the season.
Yeah. Another missing storyline, and we haven't mentioned her so far this episode, but Amanza. So a little bit of context with Amanza. So she has two kids.
Can I just stop down on a very interesting and unique name, Amanza?
Yes.
Which I never heard Amanda. Before. Not Amanda. Amanza. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Unique, like, just like her hairstyles.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This woman has a different hairstyle every scene you see her. Amanda's definitely my favorite. Like, I love how real she is. She is a designer. So she was doing like staging of properties before she joined the Oppenheimer Group in maybe season 2. And so she was brought in by Mary. She had some conflict with Christine, but now this season, her and Christine are really good friends. And so something happened in the off season to where they've reconciled, and Amanda's friends with Christine.
Some of it, I think, was actually producer. It seems like producer forced in terms of, but I've heard that they're not even really good now. But it's also like, I guess Christine has to have people to talk to, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess that's kind of mm-hmm. what ended up. Oh, and then also just for some context too, Mary and Jason have actually known Amanza for like 19 years or something yeah. like that. So that's also kind of how she also, you know, got brought in through Mary.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so we see this storyline with Amanza that plays out later in the season about how the father of her two children, he's gone missing. Basically, yeah. He is still missing to this day.
Oh my God.
He's a football player.
I was just yeah. about to ask you about that. I was like, okay, so we have a Carole Baskin situation here. Is this Rob? We just talked about Tiger King not too long ago. Amanda's husband just went to the grocery store and never came back. Mm-hmm. And that's it. There ain't been no follow-up. We ain't heard no phone calls. We ain't seen there ain't nobody. What, Rob? Shenanigans?
Does Amanda have a video diary?
Is she recording her every thought?
Yeah.
I don't know, because when I heard it, I thought, oh man, that's tragic that man just up and left his wife and kids. Like, I didn't think this was nefarious. Well, like I didn't think that something had happened to him. I thought, like, gosh, he sucks. Like, why would you just turn your back on your family like that mm-hmm. and leave them? But finding out now that they never even to this day have heard anything about him, like, are we worried? Does she ever have to kind of confront that?
Teammates of his reached out to her like, hey, have you heard from him? And she's like, no. She, like, for her, he had already signed over custody. And so she knows just as much as everybody else, which is nothing. So his name is Ralph Brown. He used to play for the Giants, and he played for the Browns, Cardinals, Vikings as well, but retired in 2010. And so, yeah, it's like an actual real life mystery of where he is. But we get to see Amanda's side of things because she's doing her best as a single mother.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild. When she said it, I really thought, like, oh, this man just sucks. And he just turned his mm-hmm. back on all the things he loved. Like, bye. And I'm just leaving.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, that sucks. And now hearing this, I'm kind of like, man, like, is there like a search going on? Like, right. I'm concerned.
Is anybody doing anything?
Or a podcast talking about this?
Yeah, like, is this cereal or something for Amanda's, you know, long lost? It's her current husband, right? Or is just
no,
like her...
they're not together. No.
Oh, okay. So her ex husband. Wow.
Yeah, they were just co-parenting.
That makes it a better story.
But, yeah,
but it's just like, it's just like crazy because it's like, I feel bad. It's like the kids had, you know their mm-hmm. dad in their life, and then all of a sudden he just disappears, and like they mm-hmm. have no idea. And it's like, what, you know, it's kind of even hard for her because it's like, what is she even? It's kind of hard to even explain what happened to her kids. So yeah, it's definitely like a really tough process that, you know, we kind of see her continue to talk about. But it's awful.
Oh my God.
You want to know who my favorite character was?
Who?
I like Vanessa.
Yeah.
She seems nice. I like her a lot. She, the one who was in the soap operas in Mexico.
Yes.
Yeah. I like her because she showed up and it's just like, I don't know if she's ever seen the show before, but I don't know if she knew she was walking into this drama because she was getting the information like I was getting it.
Right. You would think that she would have watched the first three seasons of the show, right? Like she was like, wait, who are you? Who are you? Yeah, it seems like that when you get the job at Oppenheim Group, you would think you're like, oh, you know, there's a TV show about this company. Like, all right, well, I'll watch it one day. I don't want the spoilers.
Once you get everybody's conflicting stories, you have to go home and binge the whole season at that point. You're like, okay, somebody lying. Hold on, let me go see what Christine really like because they seem to hate her.
Yeah.
She's so nice to me.
If it was me, I would have watched the show.
Yeah, watch the show, but wherever she is. Vanessa, go watch the show. I know you still ain't seen it, but like, go check it out. I loved her being in that spot because it was just such a weird space to be in where, you know, you walk into the space and there's already this dynamic there, but it could have been handled in a place like by like just doing some research. Like if you had watched any of the previous seasons, you would know, okay, going in, like, okay, I already know how to navigate this. Like I know Chrishell ain't really feeling Christine. Like I know they're not on the same page and then I can navigate it better, but it's fine. You know, I liked her a lot. She was fun.
Yeah. And it is a good point. Like, and there's no way she didn't watch the show. Like that she's a good actress that she is able to come in and act like she doesn't know what's going on. Yeah.
It's like she was on soap operas before or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I love her as well. I thought she was a really good addition because I feel like sometimes when people join a cast after that many seasons, things can be awkward. The vibe could be off. I mean, I liked her more than Emma. This was Emma's first season too. And I felt like Emma, she kind of was like a copy paste of like someone we probably already see on the show. I mean, I didn't feel like Emma provided anything new. Whereas Vanessa was like, that spice you needed. Somebody who's not afraid to ask questions. Someone who's not afraid to say, well, I think Christine might be fine because I heard this side of it. Or Christine, I don't know, because Mary said like she's not afraid to be messy. She's not afraid to spill all information. She's not afraid to just do what she wants to do rather than walking on eggshells. So I love that about Vanessa. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think too, with like Emma, I mean, I guess it's like, I feel like she's not even like, she's just kind of like a placeholder in a sense. Mm-hmm. Like as she, because of who she is, she's considered to be drama because of the whole Christine thing. But other than that, it's like, okay, well, Jason brought her in because she had worked with the Oppenheim group before, but then she also obviously, like, I think in the beginning didn't really seem like she was too invested to join because of her, you know, vegan or vegetarian empanada company that she has or whatever. So like, I think, which, yeah, no, I had gone to like, I was like, oh, I thought this was really random because I was kind of like, oh, let me see like what, you know, and I think they have like a cheeseburger empanada, but it's, not actual meat and, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of different energy. Yeah,
people on TikTok are clowning her empanadas too.
Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, this is very interesting.
They're saying, I know empanadas and this is not an empanada.
Not an empanada.
Okay.
Yeah. So I guess, she became innovative, I guess. And it's working for her. But I think other than that, I think she's just kind of like, okay, well, maybe she's not necessarily there for the show per se. It's more like, oh, she's there for the Oppenheim group, but also she happens to have this drama. So we're going to mention her and have her here and make it seem like it's this thing.
So I have a little quiz here that I'm on the website Distractify. According to distractify.com, they have the net worth of each member of the Selling Sunset cast. Of the women realtors, which one do you think has the highest net worth?
Oh, man.
Is that solely, like, are they considering the fact that Heather is married to Tariq?
And that, yeah, Christine's married.
What does Tariq do?
Are you serious, Chappelle?
Who's so, Tariq?
Oh, my gosh. Tariq El-Moussa is one of the host of Flip or Flop on HGTV.
Oh. How did I forget? And, oh my gosh.
Exactly. So Tariq was with Christina, who Christina from Christina on the Coast on HGTV. They were married.
Wow.
They got divorced and they continue to do, they to this day continue to do Flip or Flop. But when they got divorced, Tarik started dating Heather. So we got to see that play out on season three. And Heather is great friends with Christina. So that's another storyline that's kind of going on because Heather didn't really get her limelight this season.
And she's kind of in the shadows. I don't know. I was just like, okay, I'm engaged and right. I hang out with these people. And that's kind of it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So her and Tarik are now married and she is a great stepmom to his kids that he has with Christina, and her and Christina are great friends.
Okay.
So now we start to see
Heather
on HGTV.
Yes. So I do not, it doesn't say whether this includes Tarik's money too.
Okay.
Yeah, that's so, what I was also saying is, are these, that's also, I was curious, like Christine, is it including her husband or is it just Christina? So. All these elements.
But Geneva, what's the answer?
Right.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I would.
I'm going to go Christine.
I feel like if it's Christine, but if it wasn't Christine, maybe, I don't know, Mary, but I'm not.
I feel like it's Mary, because Mary the VP, right?
Yeah, so that's why my guess is Mary. But then I'm also like, okay. But then I'm like, maybe Christine. I mean, I feel like Christine is kind of what we would assume from seeing and just
based
like
how she lives,
how she carries herself and how she lives.
According to Distractify, Christine Quinn's net worth is $2 million.
Okay.
But, and she lives like it's $200 million.
Yes. but that it is that she is not the the highest net worth member of the Oppenheim group.
Who is it? Tell us.
That believe it or not, there's two that are tied at a net worth of $5 million.
The twins?
No, those guys are worth $50 million each, according
Chriselle
to
Chriselle or Maya? I don't know.
Yeah. Chriselle is her net worth is $5 million, according to Distractify. And Vanessa!
Whoa!
Vanessa!
A lot of her net worth of $5 million has a lot to do with her previous career as soap opera actress.
Yep. Both of them were soap opera actresses. That's mm-hmm. where the money is. Where the money mm-hmm. resides, where the money resides. I appreciate
and
that.
And I think also with Chriselle, she has because she became the face of the show, she has all of these other ventures that have probably mm-hmm. also made her some money. And then I know, you know, you get like $100,000+ when you go on Dancing with the Stars and you get bonuses based on how far you go and things like that. So
that's the move.
Can we talk about Mary and is this Mary's boyfriend or husband?
What's this guy's
name? Romaine?
Romaine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. I feel like this season and last season were Romaine's, like, he has grown on me because they started out their story as like, all we really knew about Romaine was he modeled, wasn't really doing much at the time. And he's 10 years younger than Mary. And so it was like, oh, shoot. Okay, what's going on here? And people were they had a lot of opinions about their relationship. Now he is.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So he's found his own now. He's found where he can, you know, thrive. And so now he's really, you know, really doing something. And so people can't really doubt their relationship because they're doing really well. He's always defending Mary. It's blossoming. But he did at the beginning of the relationship have an issue with the fact that Mary and Jason are so close. And he's like, you know, why is this happening? Can you assure me that there's nothing else going on with Jason? But Romaine, he's funny. I think he is. Like, he's a breath of fresh air when he's on the screen because he had this like pure hatred for Davina for some time and just did not like she was not invited to the wedding, mm-hmm. which played out. I think it was last season or the season before, maybe the season two. Mary and Romaine's wedding was on that season. But yeah, he did not like her one bit. And I think that's kind of rubbed off on Mary. And Mary has started to put her foot down with a lot of people.
Yeah, and I also know that. There was one quick thing. I know there was like one other like drama storyline had actually kind of started with like Chriselle inquiring a bit about, you know, Romaine and Mary's relationship in the early days. And so like Christine, you know, I guess basically confronted her about it, or she felt like, you know, I guess talking behind Mary's back and all this sort of stuff, even said that Chriselle had dementia, that she didn't remember the conversation properly.
Oh my God.
There was just a lot of different stuff. Terrible. Yeah, it was bad. It was really bad. But you know, I think with all of that, basically there's a conversation between like Chrishella and Davina, and Davina obviously is a common denominator of a problem. So that's some of the, also some of the other background too. So initially, like, she was kind of asking questions because, you know, she's new to the group, you know, she wanted to know. But of course, you know, sometimes when people ask questions about people's relationships and, you know, those sorts of things, maybe they're being a bit nosy, you know, it just depends. But I think Christine didn't really like the way Chrishell was going about it, but Mary didn't really seem to be bothered in the end. But it's also, I think, kind of been another huge problem between Chrishell and Christine.
And Christine can't talk about nobody memory because she definitely forgot Vanessa's name right after she invited her to her baby shower.
Brain.
Whatever. She was like, Natalia, Natalie, come here, girl, Natalie. She's like, it's Vanessa. Oh, hey, my bad, girl. You know I'm pregnant. And then the next day she's like, well, I'm not pregnant. So like, I'm good now. I remember your name, I promise. So dementia, that's a wild assertion that you just throw at somebody. Like, man, your memory must be that bad. Is there ever any like residual drama about the Jason and Mary thing though? Like, is there ever any like tension between the two of them about their former relationship? Because you would think that's what you want built into the show, right? Like, they used to date, but like, is it ever get awkward? Or are there any longing glances? Do they ever have any like lunches that we should be raising our eyebrows at or something? Give me the mess.
Well, they did have a party for their dogs that they co-parent. Mm-hmm. And Mary did get pretty upset at Jason because he invited Christine without Mary's permission.
Don't have a woman around your stepkids. I got you.
Jason doesn't really think about things as we've talked about earlier.
Exactly. Can't read a room.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So there are situations where Mary's a little bit more
invited
hurt
to a party for a dog.
First of all, a joint dog party, like right, your dog and my dog. So we co-parents, so now we have to come together and have this joint party for the dog. Like, I.
Yeah. Imagine there being drama over the guests for a party for a dog. Asia's getting really quiet. You know that she's having she's had dog parties before.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I haven't, so I did definitely plan to do one at my house, but instead I paid for my dog Pepper to go to her. She goes to a daycare from time to time, and they hosted a party for her. And they did a full photo shoot. The rest of the dogs that participated in the party got to take pictures. They had treats. It was themed. So I can understand.
Did you get a video of the party that they had for the dog?
Yeah, they made a TikTok.
Okay.
So she had a blast and it was worth every penny. She loved it. She loved it. And I can't imagine not doing something like that for every birthday moving forward.
And she told you, she was like, I love that, Mom. That's what I need. Next year, I need a bouncy house and Spider-Man needs to show up.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And whatever she asks for, I give her. So yeah. if I could rent out a house that I'm currently selling and invite all my friends, I would do it too. But
there needs to be an open bar. I'm not coming. Yeah. would you order a sloth to come to your party for your dog? Because we saw that Christine wanted a sloth at her baby shower.
Chappelle, do you think that she's an Enneagram type 9?
Yeah. She just like was really like looking for somebody with that energy. Cause she is not, she like conflict. Okay.
Is she an eight wing nine?
I don't know. Yeah. She seems like she's probably like a two, a misunderstood two. Just out here. Just, you know, I can say y'all being too hard on Christine. I can see her sides of the story as well. I'm a Christine apologist, but having a sloth at a baby shower is a choice.
Cause they have sharp nails.
It's not like babies are there. It's just like, just hung it up. Like, oh, here's a sloth over here. Take a picture by it. It was just like a prop.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to know what's petty? They say, oh, she had a sloth at the baby shower. And the other girls are like, yeah, well, I mean, does a sloth want to be in West Hollywood? Like, yeah. So now we're asking the animals what they want. Did they ask about the dog party? Did the dog say they wanted a birthday party? Like, that's how you know when you don't like somebody, when little tiny things bother you, you have to nitpick. Mm-hmm. But they threw that out of nowhere. Like, she brought a sloth, and everybody's like, oh, wow, that's impressive. Like, I don't know if I would have brought a sloth to Hollywood, but okay, I guess. Like, mm-hmm. I read something somewhere that didn't really like that.
Not very ethical. Like, we shouldn't be doing this.
Like, I don't know. It couldn't be me, though, I guess. She's flashy like that. I was like, oh, right. Yeah, they sniping each other. I like this.
Mm-hmm. Geneva, could you tease anything else that is going on in season four beyond the episodes that Chappelle and I watched?
Well, let's see here. I mean, this is more, I guess, close to season five, but we do get some hints that a new relationship is blossoming.
Oh my God.
And there's only, let's let them guess.
Well, there's only two men that are on the show.
Yes. So, okay. No.
I mean,
okay.
I don't want to be closed minded. Yeah.
It's okay. Jason, but please guess the woman.
Who's going to get with Jason? Who's not spoken for? Oh, could it be Vanessa?
Not Vanessa. No. Okay, cool.
No.
I was about to have a panic attack. Like, no, we just met. You can't even go. Okay. Okay. So we know Mary is married, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not Mary, and it's not Christine because she's married too.
Emma is it? Emma. He brought in Emma off the street.
No, it's not Emma. Who not is Emma. It?
Who's the main character? Michelle? Yes.
Wait, Chriselle or Amanda?
Chriselle.
Oh, see what? I like Chriselle. I'm so happy for her now. This is cool. Like, Chriselle, keep that man in your back pocket, okay? Yeah.
Remember that quote? Yeah.
Put your hopes in a home, not a man. Well, exactly. What about a man who shows
Yeah.
I love that. Because Mary's out here getting special treatment. Now, look, not no more, baby. I'm Chriselle. Baby, I'm getting the special treatment.
Chriselle's a star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said, I really want y'all to know I am the main character, not Christine. Yeah. It's me. But if you go to her Instagram, you'll see it. It's out there.
It's out there now.
But does anybody, again, and I know this is like a more fake than it is real, but isn't problematic for anybody here that you have this guy and his identical twin brother that they run this agency that only hires beautiful women to work as real estate agents, and then he dates all of them?
Yeah.
You spend so much time with these people.
In the year of our Lord
2021.
Call HR. Burn it down. Where is the human resources? You know, it's probably Jason.
These people are so busy selling houses, they don't have time to meet anybody else.
They ain't that busy.
Their coworkers are their friends. So.
They ain't that busy. Mm-hmm. They all in each other's business. That's why they busy. Look, I love Vanessa, but she did hit the ground running. She's like, oh my gosh, is that true? That really happened? Let me go back and tell that other group what you said very quickly. Mm-hmm. Like, she wasted no time. Christina's like, yeah, I don't really like this about Mary. I don't really like this about Chriselle. I don't really like this about this person. And next thing you know, Vanessa's at the table like, oh yeah, was that? I heard something about a story about her kind of being hurt by a lot of the people that you hang out with. Do you know anything about that? I was like, right. Dang, Vanessa, like, these people could make other friends if y'all didn't stop like making this tornado of mess around them, you know, so that's cool. Do y'all ship them together? Geneva, how do you feel about Jason and Chriselle's like future as a couple?
So I mean, at least I like that, they've been friends for, you know, a couple years now, and then that formed into a relationship. I want the best for Chriselle. It looks like she's really gone through a lot. I think I'll have to see how it plays out on season five. Obviously, I'm not going to see the full story there, but it seems like she's very happy and it's love. So, you know, I'm about supporting it. But I also, you know, I don't know. It is a little weird because it was like, well, you know, they do work together. And yeah, definitely could be some complicated things there. But, you know, I just would hope that, I guess, that nothing, like, if it doesn't work out for some reason, that maybe, you know, I don't know. I hope it could be at least still professional, kind of like how Mary and Jason have kind of stayed professional mm-hmm. within their relationship if it doesn't work out.
Yeah, wow. I think they need to buy a dog together. So that way they can share custody if things go south and they have a reason to keep things positive for the dog, you know? Mm-hmm. But I don't necessarily ship it, but if Chriselle is happy, okay, Jason looks happy. So they look like they're having a great time together. So I can't knock it. But I'm really interested to see it play out.
Okay. Anything else that we want to bring up while we're talking Selling Sunset season 4?
I will say, I think they did a good job kind of setting up the drama that you see the rest of season 4. So in case anybody wants to go watch, we do get some conversations and confrontations with like Christine and Emma. We see a lot of talking about Christine and Mary's past friendship, and they're talking a lot to Vanessa about the opposing stories. And so we finally get a confrontation in episode 10 of Christine and Mary. So there are a lot of things that finally play out that people are kind of like talking about in these early episodes. So it's definitely worth the watch. And I will say somebody that isn't given enough screen time is Maya. So she is, her and Amanda, I love them.
Yeah.
So Maya, she has a husband in Miami. And so Maya goes back and forth between Miami and LA. She has two kids. She's pregnant with her third, which we find out later this season. And Maya is just there for the comedy. She's there for like the.
She also has her own real estate office there too in Miami. So she, you know, she has two. So there's a lot of, I guess, bi-coastal people within this Oppenheim office.
She only showed up at the end of the third episode, right?
Yeah, she was. She wasn't around. She was
at the dinner at Jason's house.
Yeah,
yeah.
But she, I mean, she's in the first three seasons. She was around a lot. And then she's there for like the one liner. So they're talking about, you know, Christine and her at the baby shower and her being pregnant. And Maya's like, yeah, you can't do ish when you're pregnant. Mm-hmm. Like she's that person you listen to in the background to say like that one thing and to make you laugh. But she's not about the drama. So she's not about to have this like main drama storyline.
Mm-hmm. Is she the one who said Christine must have had a Louis Vuitton umbilical cord? Cause that made me laugh.
I was like, I mean, it checks out.
She stays dragging Christine. Her and Christine are friends, but Maya will not sleep on any opportunity to drag Christine, which I love. It's hilarious.
Cool.
But yeah, we mostly just saw her in a lot of the group things. So she was kind of at that group viewing too of the Linda Flora house, which is like that $11 million home or something that had like elevator access to like the rooftop and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we saw a little bit less of her. And I think that's partially because she is going, you know, from Miami to, you know, California constantly.
Asia, does the Netflix format help this show, or do you think it hurts it in any way where there's so many of the other shows between like things that like we have coverage of on RHAP between, you know, the Housewives or, you know, Love and Hip Hop or, you know, the shows where it's like a soap opera, 90 Day Fiance, where it's like, you know, Married at First Sight, the week to week versus just getting a binge and then it's all like over the course of a week or two, you see the whole thing.
Oh, I think it definitely helps it. I don't think it would be as successful as it is if it was like 2 hours. Like that's just too much content, right? Or if it was week to week. And it like they thought that the place for it was like HGTV. It's like, no, I think it's perfect where it's at because it's so easy to consume. It's so easy to binge. 30 minutes, you're in and you're out. You can watch a whole season one Saturday afternoon. And so I think the fact that it's so fast paced, like one episode, we're talking about planning the baby shower, the next episode, or even at the end of that episode, we're at the baby shower. You know, I think it really helps the fact that we get the highlights and we're not all in the weeds. And I think that's why it's so enjoyable.
Geneva, you watched The Circle, right?
Yeah.
Don't you think that's the one thing that's really missing from these episodes is that narrator from The Circle and from like Too Hot to Handle, the one that's making all the funny comments in the background? Cause this seems like one of those shows in the way it's like filmed with all the slow motion, like glamorous shots and all the beautiful people. But don't you think you just need that person in the background? Like, oh, this girl boss has good girl boss energy. Let's see who sells the house today. Like, that's what I'm missing is the sassy narrator to come in and tie it all together.
Yeah, you tell him, Chrishell.
Yeah, exactly.
I think maybe the goal of this show wasn't maybe to have the, I guess, comedic element. I think, yeah, there's things that can be funny. But I think maybe because of the type of show it is, like, I mean, like within The Circle too, there are a lot of, I guess, like you know, like silly elements that they kind of make the people do like throughout the course of their time kind of in quarantine and they're by themselves. And so, you know, I think that kind of helps tell the story also, because, you know, all we get is really, oh, they're speaking out loud. So it's just kind of an awkward format. But I think because they do kind of re-engage with some of the storylines over and over again, I think that also helps. So like we actually get different perspectives of kind of what is has been told. And yeah, and kind of like what, you know, Asia said earlier, I think that this show has worked well enough that the format of how they are releasing the episodes and providing the content to people is appealing and enjoyable. Because I think if it wasn't, then Netflix wouldn't have been doing two spinoff shows, you know, right, of this show. And I think, you know, and Chrishell mentioned it's number four worldwide and is, you know, number one in a variety of countries, top 10 in so many other countries as well. So I think people do like, because like when I kind of started watching was like between like season two and three. So at that time, those seasons came out actually pretty close to one another. So it was actually kind of nice because it was like I watched two, you know, I had like, but then I was able to like, you know, jump into three and I got through it quickly. So I think with the type of show it is and the format it is, I think it does appeal to a lot of different people because you could watch it for a variety of different reasons. You could watch it for the drama. You could watch it just for the houses. You could watch it maybe if you want to see who the celebrities are that are buying the houses. You know, I think that there are different, I guess, elements that people can get from the show. And it, I think it works the way it does.
And if we have a narrator, then we're going to be missing out on, I'm going to steal your man.
No, we're not going to just
yeah.
That is the
narrator.
That is the music narration.
The Circle manages to do a narrator and music. I'll be done.
I don't know any fire lyrics. I can't remember any fire lyrics coming out of the Circle.
No, it's all like 80s remember. Music on the Circle for some reason.
Beside, here comes trouble.
But also, I feel like so many people don't even really like the narration too much from the Circle. You know, I think some people like, I think, or like maybe they might like, you know, the UK narration over the US narration or something like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I sometimes like it because I do kind of, it kind of adds an element to the show with the type of format it is. But I don't think Selling Sunset needs that narration.
Too Hot to Handle got both. I'm just saying. Too Hot to Handle got the songs too. Is yeah, right. in there?
But I think also Too Hot to Handle is also a show that's making fun of itself.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I hope so.
So I think that's also kind of, I think that's the thing is I really think that so. The Circle and Too Hot to Handle, like even though, like I think they're shows that are meant for also comedy aside from like whatever their element is, which is I think why the narration is added to make it more, you know, I guess fun. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Geneva, then how often do they knock out a season of this? Like when will season five come out?
So I don't know about season five yet. They haven't said that, but they put a preview at the very end of season four. But in terms of the seasons, season one premiered in like March 2019. Season two premiered in May 22nd, 2020. Season three was August 7th, 2020. So like it was like a couple months
here.
Yeah. And then, you know, season four just came out. And then we have now... Selling Tampa, which is coming out December or something. So that, you know, I think even though we don't know when season five is coming out, they're starting to put out that spinoff content. Yeah. And then soon we'll get the OC spinoff as well. Cause that's kind of how the season also ends is we find out about this other office. So huge spoiler alert, I guess, but I kind of already mentioned that before. So I guess we kind of see a couple of the people too, who I think they're going to try and introduce us to because they'll probably also star on that version.
Yeah.
Yeah. And season five, I think is already shot for the most part. So unless they want to put anything else in there, they have the time since it's not out yet, but we'll probably see it in the spring.
Chappelle. And then the other nice thing about Selling Sunset is that you get to live in a world where there's not really any COVID. You don't really, the only time it really, sometimes you see like a waiter, like a waitress with a face mask. It's like, you just like get to go like spend time in this world where, you know, it's just like everything's normal.
Yep. Rich people world.
Yeah.
Can't relate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this the best show of its kind? Asia. On Netflix, they have Bling Empire, Million Dollar Beach House, Selling the OC, Selling Tampa, Selling Sunset. Do you think like Selling Sunset is like the father to all these other shows?
Absolutely. I love, don't get me wrong, I love Bling Empire. but they drop both the same night. I'm watching Selling Sunset first.
Boom.
I think Selling Sunset walks so Bling Empire could run.
Mm-hmm.
If you like one, you're going to like the other. But Selling Sunset was the, like, I mean, I don't even know if you can say Million Dollar Dream Home is as similar to Selling Sunset because there's so much more drama on Selling Sunset. So I think, yeah, for these types of shows, Selling Sunset is like the OG,
mm-hmm.
even okay. only being like 2 years old.
And I think also what we're now starting to see is because of Selling Sunset, fortunately, we're now seeing more diverse stories told in, you know, different elements. So seeing, you know, kind of like Bling Empire and seeing Selling Tampa, all Black woman cast. And then, you know, I'm sure we'll see with the OC, you know, different elements like that. But I think, you know, Selling Sunset kind of was like, I think the starter essentially for all of this. But now we're seeing a lot of content that, you know, gives some of those elements, but are different. So I'm looking forward to seeing kind of how things grow.
Rob, there are so many of these shows on Netflix that are just like this, or it's just in a similar vein to where like about like real estate or home selling.
Yeah. How we does could Asia do a keep
whole
up?
Series. She watches them all.
How like, does she even like, have time for a dog birthday party?
She doesn't, because she's like watching Dream House Makeover.
To take care of it for me.
Yeah, she pays people to give her dog a party while she watches Dream Home Makeover.
Yeah, and then watches mortgage, the party on TikTok. Yeah.
The Parisian agency. She's just doing it all, but not taking care of her child. We really need to talk about this, Asia.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, it's not like we have to bring in the like people to come investigate the living situation for Pepper. I don't know.
I give her the world. She's currently in her kennel, sleeping, and being a joy, right? So while her mom is here,
that's what Christine would do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Asia's the Christine of the podcast. You heard it here first.
Okay. All right. Well, this was very fun to get to talk Selling Sunset. Chappelle, will you watch more Selling Sunset?
Maybe. If you tell me something good happens. Like, am I going to finish this season? Probably not. It doesn't sound like it got too eventful just based off of what we just talked about. But I might peek in for the next season to see what they got going on. Who knows? The episodes are very quick. And then on Netflix, you know, you can speed it up a little bit too. So I might knock out a couple of them if I'm feeling bored, or if I'm just like,
you can also go back in time and see the earlier, because I think that's where a lot of the more
intriguing.
Is.
Yeah, that's more intriguing. Mm. I want to go back and kind of figure out where we got here. I need the origin story. So Rob, I might catch up on a few more.
Okay. All right, Geneva, what's coming up for you?
Yeah. So not much, but you know, you can follow me at Peace Love Jen on Twitter. And you know, I'm doing a lot of the behind the scenes stuff for Silent Podcasts, and you know, Chappelle is very active there with Never Have I Ever. I did an episode with Chappelle about a month ago there, and I was actually on the wrap up for The Bachelorette a couple weeks ago with Haley. So if you're interested in catching up on Michelle Young season and what is happening right now, or a couple weeks ago, you can definitely find that out. But yeah, I'm glad I was able to talk about this with you guys, and you know, hopefully we'll see more, you know, Selling Sunset universe content in the, you know, rap world.
Okay. Great job today, Geneva. Asia, what's coming up for you?
Yeah, so like you mentioned, Married at First Sight.
On a break?
I am for about a month. We found out the new season is premiering in January, so they are pushing them out.
Like Christine did.
Yeah, literally. So it literally 7 years they've pushed out 14 seasons. So they're on a roll. There's so many people trying to get Married at First Sight, which is just wild.
They don't get paid to not make the show. Am I right?
People are tired of waiting. Yeah. Just get married.
Exactly. So that is out there. So you want to go back and catch up on Amy and I's coverage, Married at First Sight. That is out there. We have our Married at First Sight feed. So definitely go subscribe, leave some reviews. And then also, speaking of The Bachelorette, I'll be joining Amy and Haley to talk about the Men Tell All episode this week.
Oh,
very excited about that. I am winning the draft right now.
Congratulations.
Not to brag. thank you. Thank you. Since I'm out of the Survivor draft, I'm glad I'm hanging on to Bachelorette.
Hey, you got something.
Yeah. Exactly. So other than that, just trying to be the best dog mom I can and give her the world. So that's everything world. I'm doing. Yeah, exactly. Yes. And I did want to add about Selling Sunset. I know people out there, like people, there's so many different views of it. And some people are, oh my gosh, it's so scripted. But I was talking to a friend today and she made a good point. She said, you watch movies, don't you? Movies have scripts. So just understand that there's some guidance with Selling Sunset. And as long as you know what you're looking at, you can thoroughly enjoy it. So I want to say that. Oh, and then follow me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia. So there we go.
Yeah. Okay. Great job bringing all of your insight to Nothing But Netflix here today, Asia. And then, Chappelle, what's coming up for you this week?
Oh, I don't know. You know, like still same old stuff, Rob. You know, I'm getting ready for the holidays, but you know, as usual, still covering The Walking Dead. This is the final episode of Walking Dead World Beyond this week. And Fear the Walking Dead's season finale is this week as well. So Josh Wigler, AJ Mass, Jessica Lisa and I will still be talking about that on post show recaps. Also, Sasha Joseph and I are still talking about Never Have I Ever. We're about to wrap up season two. I think this week coming up, we will have another guest, Ms. Sarah Ferguson. If I can get that scheduling locked down, she'll be coming and joining us soon to talk about Never Have I Ever on Silent Podcast. And then on post show recaps, we're still talking about Insecure. Mari Forth, myself, and Latanya Starks, with our, you know, array of guests, Asia included, have been talking about the entire season. And so we're going to continue that this week as well. But Rob, I'm very concerned because I don't know what's coming up next for us.
I totally forgot. Yeah. What is coming up next week for us?
Well, I was going to ask our guests. So, Geneva, do you have... Because this is largely your idea. This Selling Sunset was a Geneva. Like, you were like, let's do it. Asia was like, let's do it. Y'all have good taste. Geneva, what's next? What should we do next? What are you thinking?
What should you do next? Okay. Yeah,
what's hot on Netflix?
That's the thing. What is hot on Netflix?
Okay. Yeah, I have an idea too. So yes.
What you got?
Could do your idea first.
True Story with Kevin Hart. Y'all, that was fire. It is about... Really?
Chappelle says it's very serious.
Really? You saw it?
No, people told me it was serious. They was like, it's Kevin Hart's first serious role.
Yes, it's first... Yes, okay, that's fine. It's still worth talking about. You don't have to see Kevin Hart be funny. It's greatly written. 7 episodes. It takes you on a whirlwind, and I think it's a solid show. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Watched it in one night with my mom, so... Okay. I think that it's number 3 right now on Netflix, and it's been out for like 2 weeks.
Yeah,
it's a glowing endorsement for real. We might have to look into that, Rob.
Okay. Also, coming this week, Chappelle, 20 somethings Austin. Do we have any interest in that?
I personally don't have any interest in 20 somethings Austin, but the fans of the, you know, late RHAP Rewind are saying like, you did The Real World. You gotta kind of talk about this. Seems like I won't say knockoff, but this Netflix version of what it looks like to be like a similar brand of The Real World. So I wouldn't write it off. I don't know if we have to do it this week coming up, but it probably wouldn't be a bad decision because, I think it's coming this week proper. So yeah, coming in the next week, 5-6 yeah. days, yeah. yeah, it'll be out. So it wouldn't be bad. We'd be on top of it before, you know, everybody else gets to it. We'll be the first coverage if we talk about it.
There's also the holiday films on Netflix.
I was gonna say this would be a perfect time for some
single
holiday
all
content.
The way is number 8. But I do think we could wait a week or two on the holiday stuff. I also saw that they're gonna do another Tiger King. Doc Antle. Yeah. Whatever his name is.
Bogdavan.
Bogdavan. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's coming soon.
Hopefully not too soon, but so we can
come
through
soon.
Hopefully not. But, you know, maybe we just wait on the Tiger King a little bit longer. But I do think we can put off maybe like a couple holiday films into the last couple weeks in December. You know, maybe like you said, Single All the Way sounds like a good one. Something About a Princess or whatever sounds like a good one too. It's something Princess Switch, blah blah blah. I don't know. It sounds dumb.
There's a lot of Princess Switch. So you could definitely could do a podcast on each and every one of those.
Each and every one of them.
I don't think the people are clamoring for it. I haven't had
like a 3-part series, Geneva.
You know, maybe, isn't Vanessa Hudgens starring in that one? So
I don't know. No one's really talking about it. There's not a lot of buzz.
Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding. But yeah. I also know Tick, Tick, Boom. They just recently, you know, released that on Netflix. So if you want to go into the musical realm on Netflix and cover some of that sort of content, that might be actually interesting or intriguing to go down. So, and I've heard, I don't know, one of my friends had also told me about that School of Chocolate show.
Chappelle doesn't like chocolate, Geneva.
You don't
I do like either. Chocolate. I do like chocolate. Asia, don't try to lump me in with you and your mess.
No, what? Okay, I like chocolate.
Asia doesn't like chocolate. I like chocolate.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, why are some podcasts like chocolate?
No, it's just Asia. We just accept her for who she is, you know?
I just can't get with the taste.
Okay. All right. So we'll figure out what's coming up next week on Nothing But Netflix. For me this week, Chappelle, did you know I watched all 5 nights of Jimmy Fallon this week?
Five Nights at Scally's. Five Nights at Scally's with Scally on the mailbag.
Yes.
Yeah, I started it. I haven't finished it yet.
Yeah, I'll tell you all about what happened on Jimmy Fallon this week. I watched all five episodes. I talked about it on this week's Robin and Kevinita podcast.
It's a great episode. I'm eager to finish it. I gotta get to the mailbag.
Yeah. I'll tell you who was on Zoom and who was in the studio with Jimmy this week on Five Nights at Fallon's. Plus, great Survivor podcast and Natalie Cole on the podcast, a feedback show with Bryce. So lots of great Survivor stuff as we are in the home stretch of Survivor 41. Thank you so much for listening to this week's Nothing But Netflix. We'll be back next time to talk about what's happening on Netflix once again. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.